Good afternoon and welcome back to the Ammon Road Baptist Church. This is Pastor Tony Vance. We are thankful, praise God, for the opportunity to be on here. We want to finish up the message that we started this morning on Selected by Grace. We ended up this morning and we discussed that salvation is not about who we are, the elect, but about who makes salvation possible. And, of course, that is Christ. We left off with our verses when it's 2 Thessalonians 2, 10, and 11. So many people receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, but they believe a lie. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 teaches that Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Christ is the only offering for sin that has satisfied God. You know, as we think about it, we are a world that thrives on being popular. And we want everybody to like us. We want to make sure that everybody accepts us. But friend, as we tried to bring out this morning, the important thing is that Christ Jesus has accepted you, that you have been born again and on your way to glory. Young Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3, 4, 5, and 6 said, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." The Bible, the Word of God, clearly says that Jesus, He is the Savior of all men, specifically of those who believe. But Jesus is good to the lost man. He was good to you and I before we were saved. And we are to thank God for this. But the Bible says, and that's what we need to look at, in 1 John 4:14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world." Now, J.C. Ryle, another gentleman that I study after and read his books, warned against the adulterous system that is out there, namely, hyper-Calvinists. Christ died to make possible the salvation of all men and to make certain the salvation of those who believe. We need to realize that the reason you and I believe is not because of us, but because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who after we heard the Word of God, He quickened us, He made us alive, and He continues to this day to bless us. And we're so thankful for that. We are selection through God's work. Through God's work. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, is basically what Paul said to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. "Belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by His gospel." It was the truth. The true gospel, how the Christ died for you, was buried for you, arose for you, and one day, I believe very soon, is coming back for us. Jesus is the reason you and I are saved. You know, Paul said in Acts 20 and 28 or Luke, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel is of the grace of God. It was God giving His Son in our place, that Jesus Christ, when He went to the cross of Calvary, we should have been there. It is you and I and everyone that's been saved. We should have paid that punishment. And those who don't believe, they will punish in hell for eternity because they have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, we need to understand that before the world began, but hath in due times manifest His word through preaching. That's what Titus 1, verses 1 through 3, the sum of those three verses is that, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching. It is only the preaching of God's word that a man can be saved. We need to realize that. We need to understand that. And when we do, we'll thank God that He loved us so much. He sent His Son to do for you and I what we could never do for ourselves. So it is clear and consistent truth of the Bible that God will see to it that those who come to faith in Christ must first hear and understand the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to spend just a little bit of time on two words that we just said here, that it is clear and consistent truth of the Bible. In other words, the Bible is clear that through sanctification of the Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit of grace is to bring sinners under conviction for their unbelief and draw them to Jesus Christ. If you read John chapter 6, verse 37, verse 44, and verse 65, these verses are absolutely clear that Jesus Christ's death was necessary, and that you had to hear the gospel. You had to hear the truth. And when God bears witness with that truth, you will be made alive. You will become a child of God. It is not our human logic, eloquence, or psychology that brings people to Jesus. People come because of the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must abide in the Word of God. It is the Spirit of God. One of my favorite verses I quote in preaching. Jesus said, "It was expedient that I go away. And if I do not go away, the Spirit will not come. But when the Spirit comes," this is something else that a lot of people differ with the Word of God on. The Holy Spirit is not the agent of saving. The Holy Spirit is the agent of convicting or convincing you of the Word of God. And so Jesus said, "It is expedient that I go away. When I go away, the Spirit of God will come, and He will teach you and lead you. The Spirit of God will teach you what is right and what is wrong." A lot of people come to me and they'll ask me or call me or text me, and, you know, "How come you believe this and my pastor believes this?" I don't know, except the only thing I know is that if it's not thus said the Lord, I don't want to preach it. If it's not thus said the Lord, I don't want to believe it. And as long as I stick to the Word of God, the Spirit of God will not teach me something that is contrary to the Word of God. So that's why He said it is expedient, it's necessary that I go away. And when I go away, the Spirit will come and He will guide you and lead you into all truth. I'm afraid that sometimes so many people have the truth, but they do not have all of the truth, because men who profess to be called men of God has refused to preach all the Word of God. My friend, it's not human logic. It is not how much you know. It's who you know. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you don't know and believe that your understanding is going to come when the Spirit of God teaches you, and when you in doubt, the Spirit of God will bring back what you have learned, what you have been taught, the scriptures that is precious to you. The witness of believers is so necessary. That's why that we are missionary Baptists. We believe that it's our job to witness to people around us. And it always comes when I make that statement, you know, preacher, I just can't talk, you know, I can't do this. Then do what is even more effective than your mouth, and that is to live the Christian life in front of those. I would rather see a gospel sermon or hear a gospel sermon in the life of someone in their everyday life than what they say in Sunday morning coming out of their mouth. We believe what we see. And if I'm saved, the Spirit of God will convict me and lead me in a way that will glorify the Lord. You know, arguably, a high Calvinist cannot look a congregation in the eye or even a single unbelieving sinner in the eye and say, Christ died for your sins. I don't know if Christ died for your sins, but I can tell you one thing. If you hear the gospel, if you hear the gospel, how did Jesus die for you, was buried for you, and arose for you, and if it affects your life, it changes your life, then I can tell you, Jesus Christ died for you. And we will know that because you will submit to scriptural baptism, and you'll submit to church membership. You will follow the Lord in and through His New Testament local Baptist church, because that's what Christ died for. That is His goal. His, the church is the schoolhouse for children of God. And if it's not being taught in truth, if the Spirit is not there, then you will not learn. You may be entertained. You may feel good about what you listened to this morning. Or you may feel good about what you've heard in the past. But the Word of God needs and will change your life. When is a person saved? Well, among all the religions and belief systems, there are generally three views. Saved in heaven after death. For some, God doesn't offer salvation in this life. It is only what we call probation. That is the off-official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church and some churches of Christ, most Pentecostal charismatic churches, Nazarenes, the Mormons, cults, all of those, including the Jehovah's Witness. It's that those who believe in Christ are not eternally secure at the point of this belief. But let me tell you, friend, if I'm not saved now, and if I die in the next second, I will not be saved in heaven. God said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But when the rich man died, he went to hell. He was an unbeliever. Excuse me. He was an unbeliever when he died. He was an unbeliever in hell. But we learned something about the rich man. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He seen Lazarus afar off, and he became a missionary by sort. He wanted someone to go and talk to his lost brothers, and his family, let's say. But you know what he was told? you would not believe when you was alive. You would not. My friend, today may be your day of meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friend, you don't get saved on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. The Bible talks about in the Old Testament where the tree falls, it lies. If you die lost, you'll remain lost, and you'll burn in hell for eternity. If you die saved, you'll go to heaven, and you'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. It is so sad to know what some false teachings that are out there. Young Timothy said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed." Notice what he said. "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." By taking a thought out of that scripture, people don't want commitment. They don't want to be committed to faithful church attendance. They don't want to be committed to paying their tithes and offerings. They don't want to be committed to live free. But young Timothy said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. I know in whom I have believed. And he was persuaded that he is able to keep that which he had committed unto him against that day." Also the Apostle John said in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that he may know that he have eternal life, and that he may believe on the name of the Son of God." See, you can know. Another thing that I find out when I visit door to door or in the hospitals, nursing homes, wherever we may go. "Well, brother, I just don't believe you can know. We hope and I believe that I've done enough. I believe that what I've done, Christ will accept it. But yet the scripture says, these things have I written unto you that believe." Not just believe anything, but believe on the name of the Son of God. Believe that Christ died for you, was buried for you, arose for you, and one day is coming back for you. If you believe that, you can know you have eternal life. I don't know when I'm going to die, but I will die in the Lord. And I know that I'll die right on time. I was just discussing with some people a few minutes ago. Hebrews 9:27. "It's appointed unto a man wants to die." I'm going to die when my appointed time comes. But I don't know when that time is. So I must be ready. I must be ready now. I must be ready when the Lord calls. It would be my content that waiting until after one dies to find out if they are going to heaven would be tragically too late. It's like the average marriage. "Well, I think I love her. If I don't, I'll grow to love her. And if I don't grow to love her, then, we all make mistakes." Is that the way we want to think about our eternal life? You're going to spend eternity in one of two places. to the heaven or hell. No need to sugarcoat it. No need to try to make somebody feel good about their lost condition. If you died 1 minute ago, you would be in heaven or hell. Now, your body may go down to some funeral home or however you want to discuss that. But God says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I believe God. I mentioned a few books this morning that I've read and men I read after. But those men can make mistakes, and like I can make mistakes. But God makes no mistakes. God says, have you heard? Have you believed? Then I will give. The very first verse, this old pastor memorized with John 5:24. He that heareth and believeth hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Friend, I don't know a lot of things, but I know one thing, that I believe that Christ died for me, was buried for me, and rose for me. And he paid my hell. And when I leave this earth, I will be in heaven so quick that the natural eye have not seen speed like that. Saved in eternity past, before the world began. Those of the Reformed theology teach that God, you know, unconditionally predestined some to be saved and some regarded in human responsibility. Well, you know, I believe that God knows who he was dying for and he won't lose one of them. But if you believe you're going to go to heaven without ever hearing the gospel, if you believe you're going to heaven without ever repenting, without ever believing, that you believe because someone has told you you're one of God's elect, you're going to glory. Let me tell you right up front, you have been misled. No one, absolutely no one, is going to be saved until they have heard the word. The preaching of the gospel, how that Jesus died, was buried and rose again for you, and that you accepted, that you repented of your lifestyle, you repented of your sin, and accepted what Christ did. That's surety. That's surety. Augustine went so far as to teach non-elect infants who died in infancy would go to hell. I don't believe that. And the reason I don't believe that, because I've got the Bible, if you know, when you go over to Psalms 51 and the story of David. David's baby died. And David said, I know where my child's at, but my child is not coming back. Secure. In this state of not being able, not old enough, not understanding enough. Infant. That child was in glory. Saved at the point of faith in Jesus Christ in this life. Salvation, as presented in Scripture, requires a human response to a divine initiative. God calls, a sinner answers. God calls, the sinner answers. You will not find a single reference in the Bible where the elect had not believed. I believe in God's elect. And everyone that God's elect someday will hear the word, will be convicted of the word. They will repent, they will believe, and they will become a child of the King. Those who possess God's saving grace, they're God's elect. They didn't save themselves. God saved them. God worked on the water. You know, God doesn't make me serve him. He convinces me, and I accept that invitation. You remember the disciples says, come and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. The Holy Spirit came to me one day and said, follow me. And I followed. Not forcefully, but voluntarily. So, as far as believers are concerned, we become God's elect at a point in time. Yet from God's view, we have always been God's elect from eternity because God chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. I'm thankful for that. I am thankful that He chose me because I would have never have chosen Him if He had not. So we need to understand there is a balance of tension between God's sovereignty and man's responsibility in the Bible. Charles Spurgeon said, these truths may seem to be inconsistent and contradictory, but they are not. They are not. It is just the fault of our weak judgment. You ask me to reconcile the two. I answer, they do not want any reconcilement. I never tried to reconcile them to myself because I could never see a discrepancy. My former pastor, Brother Bill DeRossett, has said something that I'll never forget. He said, Brother Vance, it's like the railroad track. One side is man's responsibility. The other crack is God's sovereign will. You just stay in the middle. Don't go to one extreme or the other. And that's what the Bible teaches. And that's what I believe. I believe that Jesus saved me and that I came to Jesus because I loved Him. Because He first loved me. See, salvation is offered only through Jesus Christ. Salvation's promised on one condition, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is not a merit in humble receiving the gracious gift of God's gift. Therefore, it is not a faith that it might be by grace. No. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace. Romans 4:16. A couple of illustrations may help us understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1:16. See, there's power in believing. There's power. On several different occasions, Jesus both invited and commanded people to do the impossible. He said to one man, rise, take up thy bed and walk, in John 5:8. See, God asks us to do things that we can't do on our own. He said, come, follow me. But yet, unless God quickens me and makes me alive, I don't have that ability. But He said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Luke 6:10, He stretched forth thy hand. So as we close, we need to understand that we need to examine ourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, but that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Paul's writing to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 13:5. You know, God in His omniscience has foreknown from eternity past who, when convicted of sin and drawn by the Holy Spirit, would willingly respond to the gospel, and on that basis, on that basis, God is victorious. God is victorious. Sadly, to many Christians, they are not willing to trust the Word of God. They are initially saved by grace, if they were saved. When they die, they will eventually go to heaven by grace. And in the middle, they have to try real hard to do the best to please God so He doesn't change His mind. Do you believe that foolishness? God will never change His mind. He saved me on purpose and for a purpose. And yes, this pastor believes in the eternal salvation of the blood-bought believer. No, I repeated the word blood. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. My friend, if you're lost today, come to Jesus. If you're willing to come, if you want to come, the Spirit will give you the power to come. Take up that old, dead, depraved life. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. And He'll make you a new person. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day. And we thank You, Father, for the privilege that You have given us today to listen to Thy Word, to preach Thy Word. And as we look forward to a week of service for You and with You,